Jay Peroni, certified financial planner, here with the weekly market wrap-up. Everywhere we turn, the news has been gloomy, from the threat of a global recession to the struggling job market, and don't forget about the Eurozone crisis, the news has been nothing but bad. Yet looking at the major averages year-to-date, the markets do not seem to be phased, they're not panicking. In fact, many of the averages are having quite the good year. Though the rallies have been dull with very low volume, we're still close to multi-year highs on the Dow, NASDAQ, and the S&P 500. Let's take a look at some of the key economic and market activity from this past week. Jobs, 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 where art thou, jobs? The closely watched non-farm payrolls rose from June's 64,000 to 163,000 in July, at least temporarily alleviating recession concerns. However, these lackluster results still leave QE3 on the table. The Fed has keyed in on the unemployment rate, which is ticking back up again and currently stands at 8.3%. Another concern here is that the most recent ISM survey suggests that the labor market will continue to be weak. This means the August labor reports will carry additional weight as the Fed becomes more critical of any further weakness. Well, the relief at the pump was short-lived. Gasoline prices are rising rapidly again. After bottoming at $3.35, the price of a gallon of regular gasoline has increased for five straight weeks, including a nearly 14-cent rise to $3.64 this week. As the consumer is now spending more and more on gas, this leaves less in the budget for more discretionary items. It's now estimated that the average consumer is spending 10% of his budget on fuel costs. Looking at the sectors of the S&P 500, rotating sectors, higher oil and natural gas prices have benefited the energy sector, while investors have increased their appetite for risk, buying up technology and more cyclical stocks. Defensive stocks have not kept pace with the overall market. Since June 28th, the S&P 500 is up 5.5%, and here are the winning and losing sectors. First, the winners: energy up 10.3%, technology up 7.3%, and the industrials are up 5.6%. The losers have been utilities and healthcare. Utilities up just 1.5% and healthcare up just 3.1% since June 28th. What about consumers? The consumer credit illusion. It appears as if consumer credit is improving. However, a closer look at the numbers shows that the strength is only an illusion. Consumer credit slowed from 7.8% in May to 3% in June. Revolving credit fell 5.1%, and non-revolving credit rose 7.2%. So it looks like there's a little bit of strength in non-revolving credit, right? Wrong. The solid gains in non-revolving credit, where we see the strength, are mainly a result of an increase in federal government loans, the majority of which are student loans. If we take away student loans, non-revolving credit is still near the bottom. Consumers are still cautious and, as a whole, are not participating in the economic recovery. Overseas weakness is impacting manufacturing. Because of weakness overseas, wholesale inventories fell 0.2% in June, while sales tumbled 1.4%. This was the largest drop since March of 2009. Falling oil prices contributed to half of the decline. The inventories to sales ratio, which measures how many months it would take for businesses to liquidate all their stockpiles, rose from 1.18 to 1.20, the highest since December of 2009. What about Europe? There weren't many headlines out of Europe this week other than the ECB, the European Central Bank, signaling it was focusing on the short end of the yield curve. This most likely means that the ECB will eventually come in and buy shorter-term debt. Shorter-term Spanish bond yields have inched lower this week, but Spain is still a very volatile situation and needs to be monitored closely. The ECB may lend a helping hand through bond purchases, but it seems they want the weaker countries to utilize its rescue funds and agree to stricter conditions. What about China? China worries have been easing a little bit here. Many have been concerned about China's growth challenges because of its impact on the global economy. This red-hot, fast-growing economy was showing signs of cooling off. The Reserve Bank of Australia kept its key rate at 3.5%, saying China's growth has moderated to a more sustainable pace, but it does not appear to be slowing further. If China can sustain their current growth path, this will aid U.S. equities and commodities.